bad news around at the moment, here's some good news. Bacteria found in one of the compartments of a cow's stomach can break down plastic, according to new research. Since the 1950s, more than 8 billion tonnes of plastic have been produced, equivalent in weight to a billion elephants, driven predominantly by packaging, single-use containers, wrapping and bottles. As a result, plastic pollution is all-pervasive, in the water and in the air, with people unwittingly consuming and breathing microplastic particles. In recent years, researchers have been working on harnessing the ability of tiny microscopic bugs to break down the stubborn material. There are existing microbes that are able to degrade natural polyester, found, for example, in the peels of tomato or apples. Given that cow diets contain these natural polyesters, scientists suspected the bovine stomach would contain a cornucopia of microbes to degrade all the plant material. To test that theory, Dr. Doris Ribicic of the University of Natural Resources and Life Sciences in Vienna and her colleagues procured liquid from the rumen, a compartment of a cow's stomach, from a slaughterhouse in Austria. One cow typically produces a rumen volume of around 100 litres. Now, you can imagine the huge amount of rumen liquid accumulating in slaughterhouses every day, she said, and it's only waste. Now, that liquid is incubated with the three types of polyesters, PET, a synthetic polymer commonly used in textiles and packaging, PBAT, biodegradable plastic often used in composable plastic bags, and PEF, a bio-based material made from renewable resources. Each plastic was tested in both film and powder form, and the results showed all three plastics could be broken down by the microorganisms from cow stomachs in the lab setting, with the plastic powders breaking down quicker than plastic film. Scientists say the next steps are to identify those microbes crucial to plastic degradation from the thousands present in the rumen, and then the enzymes produced by them. Once the enzymes have been identified, they can be produced and applied in recycling plants. Well, well, well. Good old cows, eh? I knew we needed them for something. 5 to 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Time for a look at the papers, and starting with The Guardian today. Boris Johnson's to announce the lifting of most remaining COVID-19 restrictions in England will go ahead on the 19th of July, amid a backlash from government scientific advisers who've warned that doing so would be like building new variant factories. Despite cases having risen to their highest level since January 2021, the Prime Minister set to press ahead with the final stage of unlocking in 2 weeks. In a Downing Street press conference this afternoon, he's expected to announce that with 86% of adults in the UK having had at least the first jab, the government will move from relying on legal curbs to control people's behaviour to letting individuals make their own decisions. Changes to be announced include allowing fully vaccinated adults to travel to amber-list countries without having to self-isolate when they return, making the wearing of face masks voluntary, apart from in hospitals and other healthcare settings, and no longer requiring fully vaccinated adults to self-isolate if they've come into contact with an infected person. The paper says the school bubble system that's forced hundreds of thousands of pupils to quarantine at home if someone in their bubble tested positive is also expected to be dropped, while pub and restaurant customers may no longer have to scan an NHS QR code. The different approach to tackling COVID was supported by the Health Secretary Sajid Javid, who claimed it would be impossible to eradicate the disease and that the country would have to find ways to cope with it as with flu. The Japan Times reports that intermittent rain and the risk of a secondary disaster pose challenges for rescue workers racing against time following a large mudslide in a hot spring resort town southwest of Tokyo that killed at least 3 people, destroyed more than 100 houses and left an uncertain number missing. The local governments have been struggling to confirm how many people went missing after Saturday's disaster in Atami, Shizuoka Prefecture. They initially reported some 20 were unaccounted for, but now say they're trying to reach more than 100 people, some of whom may have moved before the incident. As of this morning, the city has confirmed the safety of 34 people out of 147 who'd been unaccounted for. The city is reaching out to community leaders to try to confirm the whereabouts of the remaining 113 people. So far, 23 people have been rescued from where they were trapped, the municipal government of Atami says. The governor said on Sunday the prefecture will look into whether the mudslide resulted from housing and other development projects that deforested the area and may have reduced the capacity of the mountain soil to retain water. Finally, this hour, from the Miami Herald, the remaining portion of the Champlain Towers South has been demolished At 10:30 last night, authorities detonated charges inserted into holes drilled in parts of the 12-storey Surfside condo that stood tenuously for 11 days after half of the structure collapsed in the middle of the night on June the 24th, killing at least 24 and trapping more than 100 in the rubble of dozens of units that fell in circumstances still not completely understood. The paper says that officials paused a frustrating and complicated search and rescue effort on Saturday to prepare for the demolition, which sent a plume of dust and smoke into the sky, a cloud that blew west into the neighbourhood of single-family homes that make up the sleepy beach town of Surfside. Authorities said search operations would resume as soon as it was safe after the demolition, perhaps later on today.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
So you've been fiddling with your equipment over the weekend and breaking it, have you?
I wouldn't say fiddling with my equipment is how I spent the weekend, but it was a nice weekend, thank you very much. One that I enjoyed watching the football, of course. I finally worked out that England were playing Ukraine on Saturday, although it wasn't much of a match, so perhaps there wasn't much competition there. We sail through to the semi-finals.
Right, OK, well, I timed my barbecue to perfection. It was actually already at half-time, and then we munched it and enjoyed the second half.
Very nice too. Sounds perfect. I know you were disappointed with the results, and no doubt you've got your Danish flag ready to fly for Wednesday.
Don't be ridiculous. Okay, let's have a look at the markets. Good set of non-farm payroll numbers on Friday, best than Wall Street expected, and staving off fears perhaps that the Federal Reserve might be tempted to tweak interest rates.
Yeah, the one data release, of course, that moves markets more than any other is the non-farm payroll report. US labour market report was healthy but provided some mixed signals. The rate of hiring accelerated compared to prior months, and there's been some easing of labour shortage that held back employment gains in the early stages of the reopening. In terms of the big numbers, well, 850,000 jobs were created in June. Consensus was for around 700,000. Big gains in consumer-facing industries. Average hourly earnings rose 3.6% year on year. Couple of concerns, it has to be said, from the household survey. The unemployment rate edged up to 5.9%. Participation rate remains very low. It's down at 61.6% compared to 63.4% pre-pandemic. This is the proportion of people in work or looking for work. Highlights concerns that infection rates, childcare constraints, and improved social benefits are continuing to hold back the return to work. But in terms of the impact, as you say, important from the impact it will have on policy. If you look at the level of employment, it's still 6.7 million below its pre-pandemic level in February 2020. However, the US economy has delivered an impressive private employment growth of 550,000 per month since February. So I think if sustained, should be enough to convince the US Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, that substantial progress will be made in coming months, paving the way for a formal announcement of tapering to come in at the September meeting.
Yeah, you do still have to turn your email off before using this because it's internet. Remember that?
I did hear that.
Who's emailing you at 10 to 7 in the morning?
Lots of people. It's 10 to 8, by the way, here. I know.
Well, 10 to 8 then, sorry. but it just certainly knocks spots off Zoom, this system, doesn't it?
I like it. I think we're in good shape now. Technology has come to our aid once again. Let's reflect very quickly, shall we, on market performance. Investors setting aside fears that a wave of virus variants would result in the reintroduction of travel restrictions and lockdown measures, preferring to focus on steadily improving economic data we've been pointing to that points to positive pace of recovery, but not one that will lead to a persistent surge in inflationary pressure. So US stocks closed at all-time highs on Friday. That's for the seventh consecutive day, an achievement that's not actually happened since 1997. Technology led the way while cyclicals underperformed. S&P 500 was up 1.7% over the course of the week. And Europe's stocks were little changed over the course of the trading week. Bond markets, big reaction there. US Treasury yields fell across the board. 10-year fell 10.1 basis points over the week, down to 1.43%, hitting its lowest level since early March. Opening calls on the European bourses, a little bit mixed this morning. Cunning Corner. FTSE up 9 points to the open. DAX over in Frankfurt down 5 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 1 point.
Let's keep it professional. What's he not going to sing this morning?
I may do if we get to the final.
Just think of all that money we've wasted over the years on ISTN phone calls.
It's true, isn't it?
Uncle Barclay wants his money back.
You should give me a rebate.
So when are you going back to the office then?
I think early September. I know this is a key date in your diary that you're wonderfully excited about. The idea of me getting back in my car at 4:45 in the morning, driving to Canary Wharf. But listen, I think it'll be a nice balance. There's lots of companies I think will probably move towards a hybrid approach. So certainly less days formally in the office than we had before, which will be a nice balance, I think.
You won't miss getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, though, will you, really?
I'll enjoy it once again. Let me give you a call when I'm in the car just to make sure you're up and ready, of course.
I'm already here by the time you're still sleeping when I'm on the
go. Get the violins out. Here we go. Come on.
Chinese regulators cracking down on internet firms.
They are. Further evidence, Chinese regulators are indeed looking to hold back or keep reining the e-commerce companies. This after its cyberspace regulator ordered app stores to remove Didi, striking a major blow for China's largest ride-hailing giant, which is basically China's equivalent to Uber. This is just days after it pulled out of one of the largest US IPOs of the past decade that gave it a value of somewhere around $67 billion. They announced the ban yesterday, citing violations on Didi's collection of usage of personal information. The move effectively requires operators of app stores such as Apple and Huawei to remove Didi from their offering, although the current 500 million users can still order up rides so long as they've already downloaded the app. The move put pressure, of course, on the shares of Didi yesterday and underscores the Chinese government's determination, to rein in the power of the internet sector.
And I forgot to ask you, lads, to talk about Morrisons.
Lots of excitement around Morrisons. Yeah. Of course, a big takeover taking place. And lots of excitement around the sector, actually, filtering through to other stores that could well be seen as takeover targets. So a war has broken out in terms of the price pushing it ever higher. So good news, of course, for shareholders in the retailer.
Well, when we were talking a couple of weeks ago, I sort of suggested what's to prevent Amazon getting involved and stuff like that. And lo and behold, speculation that Amazon, which already has a partnership deal with Morrisons, could enter the fight.
It remains to be seen if that turns out to be the case. Basically, any deal that happens anywhere, almost in any sector, there's a rumour that Amazon could be interested, whether that's the company putting about in an effort to try and get it to come up with a better deal from other investors remains to be seen. It looks as if the private equity groups have been making progress in terms of that deal, and the takeover should be somewhere around about £6.3 billion.
Was that Mrs. Potts doing the hoovering in the background there? What was that noise?
No way. Can you hear something? I don't know.
You haven't got your window open next to the motorway, have you?
No, not yet. Not right. In this part of the world.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.38. Euro dollar coming at 1.18.5. You're going to get 1.16.5 euro for your British pound this morning.
You can't be that far away from the M25, are you?
Probably about 10 minutes or so, something around that.
It's probably prices get cheaper the nearer you get to the motorway, huh?
Oh, there's not. There's some amazing houses that are not that far from the motorway, let me tell you that.
Thank you very much.
I've got one set aside for you. We'd love to have you back.
Really? And no way.
It's a country you've always loved and always will.
Over my dead body. Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Gendarmes across the region have stepped up patrols on the roads as the first wave of holidaymakers arrive in the south of France for the summer break. Authorities are using extra motorbikes and high-powered Renault Megane 5s in order to be able to give chase to speeding motorists. There have already been several cases of motorists being clocked doing in excess of 150 kilometres an hour on the A8 motorway. Other offences recorded over the weekend include using a phone while driving, driving under the influence of drugs and or alcohol, driving without a licence or insurance, and not respecting security distances. Traffic on the roads, particularly the motorway, has been dense over the past few days, with a series of accidents causing lengthy delays. Gendarmes are also using a number of unmarked cars. The Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin and the Ecological Transition Minister Barbara Pompili have visited Draguignan the Var to launch the annual Forest Fire Prevention Drive. The ministers have met with local firefighters and have urged the public to take the greatest care around forest land this summer. Mr Darmanin says that as climate change is becoming self-evident, the threats to France's forests and areas of natural beauty is greater than ever. There have already been several small blazes over the past couple of weeks, which firefighters have managed to contain. In the Almaracime over the weekend, firefighters aided by Canadair aircraft battled to control a blaze which broke out at Cuzon near the village of Isleur. Meanwhile, more than 250 hectares of forest land has been destroyed in a huge fire in the massif de la Clap, just a few kilometres from Narbonne. 170 people have been evacuated from the area, including 140 who were staying at a local campsite. 12 fire trucks and 9 Canadair aircraft have been at the scene tackling the blaze. More than 400 firefighters have been involved in the operation, with reinforcements called in from other parts of the country. Healthcare workers are being urged to get vaccinated against COVID-19 as the World Health Organization warns of a possible fourth wave of the pandemic in Europe in the autumn. A sizeable minority of French healthcare workers have so far not had the vaccine for a variety of reasons, despite there being plenty of stock. Health authorities say that by getting vaccinated, workers not only protect themselves, but also reduce the risk of passing the virus on to patients. The government's urging people who haven't been vaccinated yet to do so in the coming weeks as the threat of the Delta variant grows. Getting a jab is now extremely easy for all age groups, and the government's to discuss extending the use of the health pass for some shops as well as possibly bars and restaurants. People infected with the virus and told to isolate may also face tougher measures, but the message from the government is to get vaccinated now. Nearly two-thirds of all new coronavirus cases being registered in France are of the Delta variant. And anyone wishing to receive a COVID-19 vaccination can get it at Cap 3000 without an appointment until Wednesday. A team of nurses attached to the fire service is on hand to administer Pfizer shots for either a first or second vaccination. The vaccination centre is on the ground floor of the shopping centre and is open from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. Around 50 residents from Roquefort-les-Pins have staged a protest outside the town hall owing to pollution in local tap water. The water company Veolia imposed the ban on drinking water on the 22nd of June after dangerous levels of lead and nickel were found in it. Dawn Howard reports.
Residents gathered in Roquefort-les-Pins over the weekend after a 10-day ban on drinking the tap water due to raised levels of nickel and lead. 60 or so residents gathered outside the town hall on Saturday morning to put questions to Veolia, but many questions still remain unanswered, including when the water will be safe enough to drink again. A petition was passed around during the demonstration and has since been put online, and it was noted that no one from the mairie was present. In the meantime, the distribution of bottled water continues, rationed to 1.5 litres per person per day. And the advice coming from the town hall is that for drinking, food preparation and making ice cubes, only use bottled water. And they are saying that for brushing your teeth, cleaning plates and giving to your pets, you should let the tap run for a good few minutes before use.
Finally, a family in Tourette-Levance has been given a major surprise after one of their hens laid a giant egg. The egg, which weighs 229 grams, was found along with the morning's normal lay during collection. Bikini, the hen, obviously had quite a job getting the giant egg, which was more than four times the normal size, out, but she's said to be recovering well. The Guinness World Record for the biggest hen's egg ever laid belongs to another French chicken. Roussette from the Ardennes laid an egg weighing 249 grams in 2019. Omelette, anyone?
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 3348902 7211 or email info@westnautical.com.
The semi-finals of the tournament will be between Italy and Spain and England and Denmark. Italy reached the last four with a scintillating 2-1 win over Belgium on Friday night to set up a European heavyweight clash with Spain, who required penalties to dismiss resilient 10-man Switzerland. Denmark, who many would like to see go all the way after the trauma of Christian Eriksen's cardiac arrest in the opening game of the championship, beat the Czech Republic 2-1 and will now play England at Wembley Stadium on Wednesday night. England destroyed Ukraine 4-0 in Rome on Saturday night to reach the last four of the European championships for the first time since 1996. Captain Harry Kane appears to have come into form, scoring twice on Saturday, while Harry Maguire is looking imperial in defence and at set pieces. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Good news for Crystal Palace fans. They finally found the man to replace former boss Roy Hodgson, who stood down back in May, and it's former Arsenal legend Patrick Vieira. The 45-year-old Frenchman has signed a 3-year contract with Palace, who finished 14th last season. So what kind of manager can the club expect? Here's the BBC's football reporter Rob Schofield with more.
Patrick Vieira kind of embarking on his managerial career. He was sacked by French club Nice in December. He'd previously spent 2.5 years in charge of New York City, part of the Manchester City kind of outreach branding in MLS. Began at the academy at Manchester City, where he ended his playing career back in 2011, 10 years ago. Very different appointment to Roy Hodgson. I think, you know, that's obviously very clear. He's got a big job ahead of him. 15 players are out of contract. But I was speaking to the former Crystal Palace striker earlier in the week, Clinton Morrison, and he was really excited by the appointment. He said that, you know, the club have a real history in bringing through young players from the local area, often from diverse and multicultural backgrounds, and a modern black manager that they can relate to in Patrick Vieira is something very, very exciting for Crystal Palace fans. But on the pitch, he's got to rebuild that team. It's going to look very, very different on their first game of the season, which is obviously not all that far away.
The opening game of that new Premier League season for Crystal Palace is on Saturday the 14th of August, away at European champions Chelsea. And Wolves have signed Portugal winger Francisco Trincão on a season-long loan from Barcelona. The 21-year-old made 28 league appearances for the Spanish giants last season, scoring 3 goals and providing 2 assists and 7 Champions League outings. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Formula One, Max Verstappen has extended his lead over Lewis Hamilton in the Drivers' Championship to 32 points as he won the Austrian Grand Prix on Sunday at a canter. Verstappen led from start to finish as Hamilton was unable to keep up and later suffered car trouble and tyre degradation. Valtteri Bottas finished second for Mercedes with Lando Norris and the McLaren in third. Hamilton could only manage fourth place and said afterwards that Max is walking away with it right now. Mercedes will be looking for a better performance with perhaps some upgrades at the British Grand Prix on July the 18th. Tennis, the British teenage sensation Emma Raducanu will headline a day of fourth-round singles action at Wimbledon today as the second week of the tournament begins. The 18-year-old will face Aya Tomljanovic of Australia on court one in front of a capacity crowd. In the men's event, Roger Federer plays Lorenzo Sonego of Italy for a place in the last eight. Cycling Ben O'Connor of Australia has won Stage 9 of the Tour de France as Tadej Pogačar extended his overall race lead. O'Connor broke free from his rival 17 kilometres from the summit of the final climb to the line at Tien. Pogačar looked like he could lose the yellow jersey before he staged a late attack to limit the damage. He has a 2 minutes and 1 second advantage over O'Connor, with Rigoberto Urán of Colombia in third place, 5 minutes 18 seconds off the pace. Today is a rest day before stage 11 between Albertville and Valence tomorrow. Rugby Union, England have beaten the USA 43-29 at Twickenham. Joe Cocker-Singer started for England with 2 tries in his first performance since 2019. Golf, Lucas Herbert of Australia has won the Irish Open at Mount Juliet by 3 shots. The 25-year-old carded a final 4 under par 68 with Rickard Karlberg of Sweden second on 6 under and Johannes Veerman among a cluster of players in equal third on 14 under. And in cricket, the third one-day international between England and Sri Lanka at Bristol ended in a washout. England dominated again and bowled Sri Lanka out for 166 for just 41.1 overs. The rain came down before England could make their reply and the match was abandoned. England win the series 2-0.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almirante Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,009 millibars over the Ligurian Sea, losing its identity. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,010 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,009 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas, and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Xtelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
I wonder where that rain came from yesterday. It was quite welcome, actually. Freshened the garden up nicely. Clear skies again today. Moderate westerly winds across the VAR. Temperatures 25 to 27 degrees in the Almaraseme. 31 or 32 degrees in the VAR. Overnight lows 19 to 21 degrees with clear skies. Tuesday and Wednesday, clear skies. Highs of 27 to 30 degrees.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer. Open-air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally, a hand grenade has been pulled out of a river in Nottingham by a member of the public who was magnet fishing. The discovery was made in the River Trent near Wilford Tollbridge. Nottinghamshire police say the Mills bomb, which may date back to World War I, was detonated safely by the army in a nearby field. Chief Superintendent Ian Roberts said the grenade was clearly very old and rusty. He said it was disposed of with minimal disruption to the public and the scene was stood down by around 10 o'clock.
Look what I've caught!